has been doing in and through us, and also this ministry that we have the privilege of being a part of is also your ministry as you support us through your prayers and finances. So hopefully this morning I can kind of connect you as best I can to the work that you guys are maybe not directly doing, but indirectly doing through us. And it's a privilege to be on the front line for that. And before I forget, as I tend to forget at the end, we have a table in the foyer there with some information about the ministry as well as a little bit about our family. And if you're not getting our newsletter and you'd like to get it, there's a sign-up sheet. Please feel free to sign up for that. And so before I get going too far, I need this. So on the back there is our fairly recent picture of our family. Like I said, our kids are a little bit bigger than they were last time we were here, so just so you can get a feel for who they are. I'm going to, the next thing I want to share before I get into more of a storytelling and then on to some scripture at the end, I want to share with you a video that I believe does a fairly okay job at representing not only the ministry that we're involved in, but also a little bit of the family life and just life in general in Indonesia. So hopefully that'll help a little bit with some visual things for that. So I think it should play. Look at that.
You around me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears have come. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
All right. Oh, yeah. So that's a hopefully it gives a little bit of a visual picture of our life and ministry. And yeah, there is some perks to living in the tropics, and so we get to enjoy those from time to time. And yeah, MAF is an organization. Our goal is to be able to use technology to physically and spiritually transform those people that are isolated. And I don't know if you noticed in some of that video, there is some quite natural barriers that God has created there that's beautiful, but it's also very difficult to move around in Indonesia. And from us as an organization, we're currently looking for mechanics that can maintain and help keep those aircraft safe that we operate. We're also looking for pilots, and so if you're interested in flying, there's always a need for pilots as well. And maybe one that would surprise some of you, we're looking for teachers. And so if there's someone that's a teacher that's feeling called to missions, we would love to hear from you. The one thing I don't have a slide from, and I visited with John briefly this morning, and I don't even really know with confidence what the definition of what IT stands for, but if you're into IT, you know what that stands for. We're also looking for IT people as well. So, Indonesia is the red highlighted area here in Southeast Asia. It's a country of mainly islands, and I think depending on tide, it can be anywhere from like 17,000, 14,000. I've seen different numbers, so I'm not sure if they counted at different heights of tide. And the not all of them obviously are inhabited, but yeah, it's very it's a kind of an archipelago, I guess it'd be called. The country is the fourth largest population-wise. I forget the number now. I think it's around 240 million people, just behind the United States as far as population. When we first got to Indonesia, we lived in this community of Salatiga here in Central Java. Now this island here, Jakarta is the capital, is roughly the size of southern Ontario, landmass-wise. But there's 145 million people that live on that little chunk of land, so it's very densely populated. So for myself, coming from rural Alberta, where there was more cows than there were people, this was a little bit of an adjustment. But God was gracious, and we were able to make that adjustment. After language school, we moved to right up here into Sentani or Jayapura. And we were there for about a year and a half before we are now located here in Merauke on the south coast. And so that's kind of where our family has been since we've got to Indonesia. And each place has had its challenges and blessings. So these are just some pictures I threw up here for interest's sake. This gentleman here, he has four complete bed frames on his motorcycle. I have no idea how he got on his motorcycle. I don't know if they lifted the bed frames over him while he was... I don't know how they load and unload. I think once it was all going, it'd be fine, but he's just sitting in the middle. He's got... it's amazing. And I saw this more than once, too, so it's not like this was just... it was a regular thing for this guy. Those that like fishing, this might be something you may want to try. He's in about a dugout canoe, probably not much wider than my 2 feet together, standing up in a river and then throwing a net. I would just get wet trying to sit in the thing, let alone do what he's doing. So yeah, something maybe to try. This gentleman here is a good friend of ours. He built most of our dining room furniture, well, all of our furniture that we have, pretty much. And on the front of his motorcycle is a banana tree. So he's taken a banana tree out of our yard. Our landlord gave him a banana tree, and he's going to take it home and transplant it in his yard. And then one of his helpers has one of our dining room chairs that needed some warranty work, so... But yeah, just some unique things that we get to see. Some fruit. I know this one here is my kids' favorites, right? No, it's actually a durian. And has anybody here had durian? Nobody? Okay. You're not missing anything. It is Yeah, you'll know it when you go into a grocery store if they have a durian, because it'll just smell up everything. So anyway, they've got a very unique taste. I will eat them if I'm offered, but I won't go looking for them. So so this is a dragon fruit, very bland, but it's not bad. This is one of my favorites, rambutan, and snake fruit. It's okay. I don't have no idea how to describe snake fruit as a flavor. I don't mind it. I actually sort of enjoy it if it's a good one. But I have never eaten anything that tasted similar, so I can't even give you an idea what it tastes like. So, the star fruit is very similar to an apple. It kind of reminds me of an apple. And then jackfruit, it's related to the durian, so it's got a little bit of a taste to it as well. But if it's cooked in the with the right vegetables, it's actually not bad. I eat it cooked with vegetables. Some interesting critters. We're glad we found most of these dead when we found them. And then just some flowers. This guy here, I almost didn't see. He had a little yellow thing that would flip out and was bright yellow. It was the only reason why I saw him. And spiders, they can get as big as your hand or face. They're huge there. And I'm not a spider guy. These guys here, they're kind of interesting, and we don't mind them. They're kind of they keep the mosquito population down. So they'll be, especially in the evening, they'll be all over your walls and ceilings running around. And they'll scare you if you pick up a loaf of bread and he's under the loaf of bread, they'll scoot across the counter. So you kind of get used to them, but they're kind of things we want to keep around because of the mosquito control. And this is a picture, these pictures were taken shortly after we moved to Sentani. I hadn't started flying yet as a pilot. This was a ride along. So initially we get there, they take us for a couple rides just to kind of get a feel for what we're going to be doing. And this here is the runway. It's starts about, I think, 24% slope from the parking lot, if I remember rightly. Then it's like a negative 2% and then a 4 or 6%, I forget, details. So it kind of, it's one of these. And then, I don't know if you can see it real well, there's a big rock right there at the end of it. There's a bit of a valley, but it's really narrow. So on the takeoff, our arrival's not too bad. You kind of do a circling approach and land down here and taxi up here and shut down. On the departure, though, as soon as you're airborne and high enough of these trees, it's a hard right turn to stay in the valley and out you go. So this is one of the more challenging places. There's others like it. I myself have not landed here. I've just been the passenger. And the reason I share this particular couple pictures is not necessarily because of the runway, because there's lots of runways I could have chosen from. But this here was a special day. I didn't realize it until we got there, what we were carrying on board the aircraft. We got there, we landed, we shut down, and then there was a whole group of ladies in traditional clothing, so I had to be careful which pictures I chose, but they were dancing and celebrating, and I was a little confused at first until I realized they were celebrating the arrival of God's Word. We were bringing these little devices that were solar-powered that had the audio Bible in their heart language. Most of these people cannot read or write, and so this was their avenue to hear God's Word through this practical, simple piece of technology that had God's Word on it. And so it made a whole lot of sense why they were celebrating after I found out what we were carrying. So that was just one of my highlights of being in Indonesia so far. I've had others, but this still stands out as one of the highlights. And just kind of go along with that, this is a bookcase that's in our office in Sentani of all the translation works that have been published in different tribal languages in Indonesia. I've heard different numbers, but there's approximately 250 languages on our half of the island. So we share the island with Papua New Guinea, and so I think there's like 800 languages on their side of the island. We only have 250, but that's still a lot of languages, so these are the few translations that have been done, and MAF over the years has been a part of those translations, probably mostly just by supporting the missionaries that are there doing the work, the heavy lifting part. We get to just bring them stuff, which is crucial for them to be able to stay there. This here is a picture just of that little clip in the video where I'm getting soaked. That was our first solo, and the tradition is to soak the pilot on his first solo flight, and it happened to be the same day that school finished, so Uncle Greg had a lot of kids to get me wet, so it worked out good. So, This is another kind of special day. This is B-May, so the runway, and I just threw this on as kind of just an idea. It's a nice flat slope, if you want to call it that. So it's only 10%, nice and steady all the way up. And so I went there several times, and I got to take my kids there, this particular, and Julie, this particular flight, so they got to see the interior. So this is their first time going interior, and they were treated to some, it was an honor to have us there, I guess, as my family. And so each of them got a Nokin. It's that little handmade bag, and there's a bunch of them, or not a bunch of them, there's a couple of them hanging on our banner out there if you want to look at them and feel them. It's made out of some kind of natural fiber. I don't know what it is. It's kind of their carry-all. They can get really big, too. I've seen some with pigs, children, vegetables. I mean, whatever's of value goes in those things, and it's amazing how much they can carry. They also tend to carry it over their head, like this lady here is. That's quite common to see them over the head and then have all their vegetables and whatnot in the back. I don't think they carry their kids. If the kids, it's usually up front, but. So now, this is where, again, we started out when we initially got there, and now we are in Merauke. And the unique thing about Merauke is we get to service this here area of the island, which is fairly large. It's roughly 200 miles from here to the mountains, but it's all swamp, at sea level swamp. And so that's where this airplane here is very useful. We can operate off the rivers. A lot of the communities there, it's difficult for them to build runways, and so we can use the river that's right beside them and serve them in that regard. This here was a special flight from that time where Julie was able to join me. We were carrying another missionary in to do a survey work. And so we landed at this place. It's right on the coast. So we approached over the ocean, landed in the river. And we don't go there often. And so even when we go there often, we tend to create a bit of a commotion and disturbance. But being that we seldom go here, we really cause a disturbance. And all these children on the shore are in their school uniforms, so we created an impromptu recess. I'm not sure if that was a good thing or a bad thing, but that was all the school kids out there watching us taxi in on the river. And, did I turn it off? Oh, there we go. So yeah, this is the community that the three missionary families are currently, as we speak, building homes to start a work there. And so we're looking forward to going back and supporting their work with the airplane. And I'm not checked out in this particular part of the river yet, but that'll be one of the priorities once I get back to Indonesia. We'll get checked out so that I can operate on a curved runway safely. This is also the same day that happened to be my wife was still with us. And what I'm doing here, this is in Sango. And if you've read some missionary books from that area, there were several missionaries in the area of Sango many years ago. And so this, I think, would be the direct result of those missionary work. These are pastors, church leaders. I'm picking them up to bring them back to their home. They just spent a week or 2 weeks doing a leadership kind of conference that they do every 6 months or so. And so it's, again, a privilege to be able to serve that church, to be able to do that discipleship in the leadership aspect of their churches. It's helped that specific denomination kind of stay true to the God's word, and where other denominations haven't always been real healthy. So this is one of the healthier denominations. Maintenance, I get to do that once in a while. This was a big project. Tail's missing. It's hard to see in the picture. The engine's missing, and the wings are actually disconnected at this picture. So we did this big, massive inspection back in March and February. Our airplane's getting a little old. It's got 20,000 hours on it now, 1989. All of which was done in Papua. And so it's been a great tool that God has provided, and we hope that God provides a newer version of this tool soon, so we don't have to do this very often. And yeah, this is our house, or where we live as our family, and we got a nice big yard, and I'm going to let Julie talk about that in a moment, so if you want to get ready, dear. And then this is the city of Merauke, is from the air. And and again, a group of people, they like to watch us taxi in when we show up. So, are you ready, dear? All right. Oops, that's not the next picture. Anyway, you're coming up. Our lawnmower, Franklin's learning how to use our lawnmower. We have a weed whacker. And when I got there, I thought, that's all I saw people use. So I thought that's always available. And so I went and bought this weed whacker. It takes me about 2 hours to mow the grass, and I'm thinking, oh, I got to train my boys to do this. So we're working on that. But it was actually a couple months later that I discovered they actually have push mowers. So when we get back, I probably at some point will buy a push mower so it doesn't take quite so long to do it with a weed whacker. And then this is actually our MAF team that we have. We have another pilot mechanic that serves with us, and we have five national staff. And we cannot do what we do without those national staff. We really cherish them and enjoy working alongside them. This top picture is a community group from our church that we attend. We attend an Indonesian church. And so that's got some different dynamics too, that we worship in Indonesian. And so unfortunately our kids don't know the language real well yet. Well, hopefully you're going to fix that when we get back. So, but yeah, we enjoy fellowship with brothers and sisters in another language there. All right, and now you're up, dear.
Okay. Is it ready?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay. So as Greg has been sharing, we've done a lot of flying ministry, but this is an important role that we play in our neighborhood. We live in an entire neighborhood, except for one other family that has a different faith than us. And God has blessed us with an unusually large yard, and about in January, our neighbor, who lives right across from us, came and asked if he could use our yard for an event. And it turned out to be their daughter's wedding, and we were really excited to see how the door was opened by God to host this event in our yard and just to be able to connect with our neighbors and to show them that they matter to us and to God. So they came in, and there's just different pictures and different stages of how they set up. They came in and made a stage. They completely filled our yard with chairs and different things. They took up even the road in front of our house and onto theirs. So it was a pretty exciting time for us. It turned out, though, that Greg ended up having to be gone, which for myself was a very nervous time because he's better at language than I am. And then most of the stuff was set up on the day before. They come in and do everything, and then as I am out and about meeting new neighbors and just trying to visit with them and open connections, we get a text, or I got a text from my husband that he just got word that our good friends from our small group that he showed you a picture of suddenly lost their 2-year-old daughter. And it was a very hard time. We knew this couple very well. But as I am navigating this wedding in my yard, we have a funeral that I am serious was 3 doors down. Everything is done in the yards. Funerals are done in homes. And they are 3 evenings long. So the first night after I have everything set up in our yard, my oldest son and I had to go 3 doors down for a funeral, the beginning of it. So I had to go back and forth from one event to the other and like switch a switch in myself to do it. And God was very gracious and allowed me to handle both things. And through the process of it, I started to notice things. The boundary lines between our neighbors and the different faiths and how some of them would not cross and how some of them started to cross. And they, about halfway through, began to realize that we intimately knew this family, but we were still honoring our commitments with them, which was a huge thing for them. And through this all, after 3 days of going back and forth, we really saw a shift in our neighborhood and how they were always accepting of us, but the doors were really open more. And it was a few weeks before this happened. We were questioning if we were being effective here. Should we come back? Should we do different things? And then this happened. And God just really pointed us back that seeing the change in our neighbors as we walked through this time was really neat to see, even though it was very hard.
All right, thanks, Julie. All right, and then just quickly before I move into just a little devotional before we close today. I don't know if you know, Jonathan let me have like 3 hours today. No, just kidding. Just kidding. In Indonesia, that wouldn't be too uncommon. But this here is good friends we made when we were in language school. He's my older brother when I address him in Indonesia, and I'm his younger brother. And even just a couple days ago, it's amazing what technology can do today. I can actually phone him on the internet now and talk to him face to face. It's just crazy. Same with this gentleman here. I've been texting with him. I actually phoned him 2 days ago. Well, he phoned me actually, and his wife worked in our home when we first got there, which was a huge blessing to have her help kind of take care of us a bit through keeping the house clean and doing cooking and stuff as we kind of all of a sudden landed in this foreign land and didn't really know where things were. So she was a huge blessing. I didn't get to know him until we moved, but since then we've really continued to communicate with each other. And for whatever reason, he feels he can confide in me when he's struggling with different things. And so I get to be his sounding board when they're struggling and pray for him and his family. They are believers. This family parts, I don't know exactly where everybody in their family stands for as far as faith. I know the wife and son and daughter for sure are. My friend, I don't know. I haven't heard it from his lips where he stands. But anyway, pray for them. This here couple here was a kind of unique couple. They owned a little store. And when we first got to Indonesia, we didn't have any motorcycles or any transportation besides our feet. If you've ever seen any footage from the traffic there, it flows differently. Maybe that's probably the best way to put it. It just flows differently. Traffic laws are kind of recommendations rather than actual laws. And so when I got there, I was like, oh, there is no way we're driving here. But as you can see from the video, we do quite a bit of it now. And my wife is like an expert motorcyclist now. And anyway, I get back to that couple. The store happened to be located on my way to school, and so I'd drop the kids off at school. I'd continue on to my school. I'd come home a little bit earlier than they did, so I'd come home, eat lunch, and then go back and pick them up in the afternoon. And I would always leave early to go pick them up, and I would stop at his store or their store. And if they weren't too busy, which was it was often enough that at least even if they were busy, they'd sit for a few minutes. And I'd sit and I'd drink a Coke and eat an ice cream. Mitigating all benefits of the walking, I'm sure. And I just got to know them. He kind of reminded me of my dad a lot, just doing it, being a businessman and trying to make ends meet. And so we connected well. They are not believers, and so I continue to pray for them and that someday that maybe some seeds were planted during our simple conversations as I'm learning their language and messing it up probably most of the time. And so then these other two pictures are our church community group where we're at right now. And I think the next one is, yes, I've heard that missionaries always end with a sunset, so I didn't want to break tradition. So this is a beautiful sunset from our beach. Our beach isn't very nice for a lot of things, but the sunsets are pretty amazing. So with that, I'm going to finish that off on the update of what our family's doing, and I want to move into just a little bit of some scripture that has been challenging me. And so before I do that, I want to pray, though. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you again for this privilege to be here in Vida and be able to share what you're doing in Indonesia. And again, Lord, I pray as we open your word a little bit that you'd be able to speak into my heart and maybe even to some here this morning that are in attendance. Again, we thank you for your love for us, and we commit this into your hands. In your name I pray, amen. All right, so I want to read from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. I sometimes put it up on the slides, but I tend to always forget to move it forward. So hopefully, if you have your sword with you this morning, you can open to 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 through 11. I don't know if I'm going to read the whole thing this morning for time. I'm just going to read the verses that I really want to focus in on. So this is kind of a little bit like an appetizer. There's a lot of stuff in this passage, and I'm only going to break out a couple things. So you'll have to do the more in-depth on your own later, sorry. But at least maybe I'll whet your appetite a bit. All right, so 1 Peter 4, 1 through 11. Keep fervent in your love. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking, parties, and abominable idolatries. I'm going to just jump over the next bit here and jump down to, jump to 7 here. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who's speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Yeah, I just want to, again, before we get too far down here this morning, I just want to clarify that just because I carry a title of being a missionary does not mean I have it all together. I do not. In fact, when I speak, because I don't always know the context of the church that I'm going to, I speak a message that I need to hear. So I'm sorry if I'm the only one that needs to hear this morning, but hopefully maybe there's some others that can benefit from this message this morning as well besides me. But so just wanted to put that out there first. So as a pilot, I get to see some pretty cool and amazing things. You get to see a little bit from the video, but that doesn't come without some risks. And some of the risks I can see a thunderstorm usually ahead of me and I can avoid it. I can hopefully see the mountain and avoid the mountain. But there are some risks that I can't see, particularly now flying with the float plane. I can't always see submerged logs under the water. I don't know if you noticed that with the paddle, we have a paddle on board the airplane, but it's usually not used for paddling. We use it for having debris that's floating down the river. We use it to push it off to the side. And so there's risks involved that aren't always visible. One of my coworker that has... was there on base pre me, or I guess we overlapped a little bit, but he shared a story with me one time, and I don't know details except for he was tied to a dock, and you would think you're nice and comfortable and safe when you're tied to a dock. Well, lo and behold, the dock broke away from the shore, and so he's tied to the dock with the airplane floating down the river. So there's that underlying risk that can be there when you don't even see it. And in our spiritual lives, we also have some risks that I believe that are hard to see, hard to detect, and may kind of catch us off guard. And that's what I kind of want to speak to this morning, is a risk or a danger that I know I myself face. And I think there's a lot of North American, I think it's just built into our North American culture as well, and that is the worship of comfort. And comfort. It's an easy thing to kind of allow to start to control and consume our lives. I like comfort. I like my pillow top mattress. I like my job security, a nice car, or motorcycle in our case in Papua. And I do want to say that there's nothing wrong with these things. There's nothing wrong with having a nice car or a nice bed or a house. There's nothing wrong with that. The danger, though, lies in that it becomes to control us and to kind of keep us in that place of comfort when we're missing opportunities to be ministering to our neighbors, to some stranger on the road that we happen to meet, or maybe in this case this morning with that prayer request for the need there with the young gal. If we stay in our comfort zone, we can maybe miss these opportunities that God is bringing our way. Because to get out of our comfort zone is going to cost us some time. It's going to cost us money. It might even cost reputation. That's, I believe, what we're called to do is to be ministers in different ways. And I just want to share a real quick story, not to necessarily boast up my wife as being some great person, but other than that, just watching God use her was really encouraging recently. We have in our yard, we have one of the things that commonly happens with us is we stand out a little bit. We're a little bit taller. We have white skin. So that also comes with this idea that we're rich and we have money. And it's not that we don't, but we get a lot of people coming in our door asking for hands out, asking for help. And sometimes we can help. We've kind of come up with this, it's a family thing. We don't hand out money to strangers, so we won't do that. Because once we start handing out money, we'll have everybody in our yard wanting money. And it doesn't really help in the long run either just by handing out money. It's the quick and easy solution, but it's not necessarily the long-term help. Anyway, so we had this fellow, he came to my door one day. He was trying to sell this thing. So he wasn't even just asking for money, he just wanted to sell something. And I didn't really want it. So he finally convinced me to let him work in the yard. And so he did some gardening for me, and so I paid him for that. And he came back and did it some more, and I paid him for that. And then one day he came and says, I need some money for food. I have someone in my family's died, and I need to provide food. And so the tradition is when you have a funeral, the family feeds everybody that comes. And so I knew that kind of cultural aspect. But again, I didn't want to just hand him money. And so I said, well, I'm going to go ask Julie. And so I ran into the house and said, Julie, would you be willing to go with this guy that we actually really sort of didn't know that well, but we knew him a little bit. Would you be willing to go to the market with him and buy the stuff he needs? And so sure enough, she said yes. I think a couple hours later, she realized what she actually said yes to. And I was like, what did I say yes to? I just was amazing to see God work in her life in that area. That the following day, she went to the market with this gentleman, and going to the market's a little different experience than going to Walmart or to even some local convenience store here. It's a little bit different. When you buy meat, you want to buy the meat with the flies on it because that's not been tampered with. If the flies aren't touching the meat, you probably don't want to eat it either. So just a kind of a visual for you for the market. So anyway, my wife went there, and so that was just a way for her. She got out of her comfort zone and was able to bless this family and help them in a practical way. And I look at verse 1 there, and it talks about we're to suffer, and I don't want to suffer. It's not pretty. But yet, God, is he worth suffering for? And this book is, I haven't got very far recently in it, but I've started reading this book, and I just want to share just a quick little snippet out of it that kind of speaks, unfortunately, about some of where my heart's at. And it's called Crazy Love by Francis Chan. The very fact that a holy, eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful, merciful, fair, and just God loves you and me is nothing short of astonishing. The wildest part is that that Jesus doesn't have to love us. His being is utterly complete and perfect apart from humanity. He doesn't need me or you, yet he wants us. He chooses us, even considers us his inheritance. The greatest knowledge we can ever have is knowing God treasures us. That reality is amazing beyond description, that the holy Creator sees you as his glorious inheritance. The irony is that while God doesn't need us but still wants us, we desperately need God but don't really want him most of the time. He treasures us and anticipates our departure from earth to be with him, and we wonder indifferently how much do we have to do for him to get by. So that last part, unfortunately, speaks to my heart at times where I really need God, but there's a lot of times when I don't really feel I need him. And so that's where that I think that comfort is kind of almost overtaking at times. And so that's where I need to be vigilant about watching. One thing, though, that I am encouraged about is that God's not done with me. And we're a work in progress. I think of the Philippians 1:6 really comes to mind as a huge encouragement, is that, for I'm confident this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. So it's a process, and so I can look forward to God continue to change and work in my heart and become more Christ-like. The other thing that as I read through Paul's letters and other places, it seems to indicate fairly well that it was a process for Paul too. So Paul didn't all of a sudden become this great writer or evangelist. It was a process for Paul as well. It may be a little quicker process for him than it is for me, but it was still a process for Paul. So knowing that it was a process on Paul's part, I can take comfort in that. Then the next little part I want to skip down to, and this is kind of the main reason why we chose this passage, and if you've noticed on our newsletters or our blog, we actually have this verse posted on there, and that's verses 10 of 1 Peter 4, 10. And the reason that verse is kind of important to our family is we're kind of a bit of a, for the main focus of the thrust of the ministry is support work. So we're supporting missionaries doing their Bible translation or the church plants. And so we're kind of more the service end of things. But yet, it's very encouraging to see that in verse 10, I'm just going to read it here. Where did it go? That as each one has received a special gift, so each of us has received a special gift, and employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold of grace. So God has gifted myself specifically maybe in the technical aspect, and so I can use that to manifold God's grace. And then verse 11 and speaks to why, and that's at the end there it says, in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And so I just want to encourage you, because I know each one of you has a special gift, and it'll be different than mine, it'll be different than your neighbors, but those special gifts can be employed to bring glory and honor to God. Really, and it really manifests itself when we are willing to step out of that comfort zone that we find ourselves in to exercise those gifts. And so that is what I want to leave with you this morning, is be willing to step outside your comfort zone and be willing to use those gifts God has given you to glorify His name with your neighbors and the community you live in. I get to live in a mission field that it's really obvious we're different, and there's we don't stand out. I could see this ministry here in Vida, and I don't know Vida real well, but it'd probably be a challenge here to minister at times, because things just are, it's less, the division lines are less clear, and so I could see that being a little bit difficult. So I want to close in prayer and then turn it back over to whatever the next thing is at this point. So again, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your patience too, Lord, as you process and work through our lives and molding us and shaping us, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, as I know comfort is a hazard that I have to face, and I pray that as I face it, and maybe others here face it as well, you would give us grace and strength to be able to step outside of those comforts that we so love and enjoy, and be able to step outside those at times to be able to minister and to glorify your name through our actions and our words. And again, we thank you for the gifts you've given us, and may we use them in a way that would bring you honor and glory as well. Commit this rest of this day and this week in advance back into your hands, Lord. And we thank you for your love for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So again, thank you for this morning to be able to share an update and a little devotional from God's word this morning. So, all right.
You can stand with us, turn in your hymnal to number 470, 470. That's Stand Up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. Peace.